You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, thanks for joining me again. It's great to have you with me. Well, look, I know that running your salon was probably a big dream of yours, but it's a huge job, right? And I say that because that's how it felt for me when I had my salon. And actually, it wasn't a big dream of mine, I have to be honest with you. It was rather a fast pull together. I had not long been out of my apprenticeship when I decided I had outgrown the salon that I worked in and was looking for a new job. And, you know, I didn't get the job I wanted, and I did get the job I didn't want. And as a result of that, I was parked at the lights, waiting for the lights to change, and saw in front of me at the intersection a salon that I had always admired and knew had been there, and they'd moved into the big CBD. And there was a space there, and I thought, well, if I can't find the place that I want, I'll just do it myself. I was 20, totally naive, which was probably a really good thing, because if I'd really known what I was getting myself into, I think I wouldn't have done it. And look, I learnt a lot hard and fast, and I really started my business out of ignorance, and I learnt lots of things the hard way. And, you know, over time and with lots and lots of learning and coaching and programs, things became very successful, and to the point where I opened two businesses, two salons. I had one in the CBD and one in a smaller suburb on the outskirts of the city. And, you know, I just worked myself into overwhelm, really. And I was driving between the two businesses backwards and forwards, and I had a team. Golly, I think we might have been 12 of us at that time spread between the two salons, and I was still doing a few clients at both locations, and I was driving 20 volt backwards and forwards between locations as we ran out of things. And as my mother calls it, I was a victim of my own success. So I needed to pull back and rein back. But, you know, all of those lessons I learned have really helped me in good stead and propelled me to do better. And it was out of the overwhelm that I started to change the way that I ran my business. And my goal, thanks to the coach that I worked with over a period of time, many coaches in fact, I realized that really if I wanted to be successful, I needed to step back from the business and look at it from a different perspective. And each time I dropped a day servicing clients, my business made more money. Now, that kind of, it wasn't obvious to me at the time, but when I say it now, it seems so simple. You know, when I had the time to invest in my team, time to invest in my marketing, time to invest in developing customer care programs and the way that we did business inside the, you know, for consistency for our clients. It was all of those things that that as I had more time to invest in those, my business started to become more profitable. And it was out of that, you know, after I sold the salon and I went and did various things, which I'm sure you've heard me talk about over the years, that made me come back and create the freedom and profit formula, because it was the formula or the steps. It actually was as I started to do coaching, I realized that I had this formula or this ability and these steps that I had done, and there was a method to my madness. And even though I knew I was doing a method in the madness of running the salon, of course you're in your own goldfish bowl. And so it wasn't until I'd come out of the salon environment and I'd worked in corporate with the salon software companies and done the marketing, and I'd had that new perspective now looking back on my business. And then when I stepped into coaching, I had the luxury of realizing that I had this formula inside of me. And so that's when I got it down on paper and developed the freedom and profit formula, which I've now put out for you in a step-by-step. And if you want to find it, it's on my website, www.salonownerscollective.com, the freedom and profit formula. And it's that formula that I've now turned into a program, and I'll be running that program in, throughout 2018, the Freedom and Profit program, because I want to help salon owners like yourself get free of the overwhelm, freak out at things like quiet days, freak out when our team tell us that they're leaving. All of those things that were real stress points for me in my business, and I realise now that there's a formula to everything. There's a way to deal with everything that can overcome those things, so we don't have to have that emotional roller coaster, I guess. And so I wanted to come on the podcast today and share that story with you, but also give you some tips. And I've chosen these probably are the most common challenges that I am faced with when I'm coaching and in the Salon Owners Collective Hub, where I've got an awesome group of salon owners in there. And these are the questions or the things that I see salon owners facing the most. And so I wanted to share some of those with you today so you can feel a little bit less stressed in your business, and also encourage you to take the steps. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but take the steps one step at a time to free yourself from the overwhelm, step back from your business a little bit, get a little bit of perspective, a little bit of space between you and the business and the humans inside it that stress you out so much, so you can run a business like a business. You know, a business is an investment. I don't think there are many industries that the business owner is so emotionally attached to the business, you know. And I know when I sold my salon, I felt like I was getting a divorce from somebody that I still loved. I desperately loved those people and I desperately loved that business. And it was the most painful breakup I've ever had. Why are we so emotionally attached to our business? You know, you've got to ask yourself. So anyway, let's talk about some of these things. So the first one I want to talk about is the freak out, the quiet day freak out. Now, I know that you've had one of these. I remember the day I had my first really seriously quiet day freak out, like zero clients in the appointment book, zero. And I freaked out. I almost was gobsmacked. I almost didn't know what to say. Do I send the team home? But I think the biggest overwhelming question was, what have I done wrong? Where are all the clients? Did my staff not look after them? Do they hate us now? Have they cancelled all of a sudden? And it was that last client that rang and cancelled. I think she was sick. You know, a real normal, legitimate reason to cancel an appointment, but she was sick and she couldn't come in. And that was like the final straw. She was my 6 o'clock colour. I'd already had this quiet day, and then at 6 o'clock I had a cut and colour come in, and then she finally cancelled. Anyway, I had a quick chat with myself and managed to refocus, and subsequently I've shared this with many a person that I've worked with, so I wanted to share it with you too, what to do when you have a quiet day freak out. So I think the first thing to do is just to stop and say, this is a day, there are 365 days in the year, one bad day does not define my business. So how do you do that? Because you can do it logically, but it doesn't mean you emotionally catch up with those words that are inside your head, right? So I want you to go back and have a look at the month to date. How far through the month are you, and how are you tracking month to date? So if you're 50% through the month, say it's the 15th of the month, then have a look at your sales. Typically, you know, if you're turning over $30,000 in a month and you're at $15,000, that's 50% of sales. And if you're 50% through the month, well, then, do you know what? You're right on track. You're doing exactly as you should. So have a look at the month to date and just get some sort of outside the goldfish bowl perspective on that one quiet day. One quiet day does not mean the business is over. Then I want you to go back and look at the last 3 months. What have the last 3 months' sales been like? Have they all been dead quiet with 0 days and no income? Probably not. And that gives you a little bit of perspective that one day will not break your business. And then if you need to go back and look at 6 months and 12 months. Now, the best thing you can do is graph those. If you're good at Excel, we can use an Excel spreadsheet, or find somebody who is good at it, because if you use an Excel spreadsheet, you can do it in a couple of clicks. Otherwise, write out your monthly sales month by month. So that means 12 months, right? and draw a line between the sales. So if it was 10,000 this month, 20 that month, et cetera, et cetera. And have a look at the shape. Now, there's something really powerful about looking at the shape of your sales in a graph, because it tells you a story. A picture paints 1,000 words. That graph is going to tell you something really important. And in my business, I learned early on that if I tracked, you know, it felt like I was tracking not much information. And when you start to track things, it doesn't tell you much. But over time, it tells you really powerful stories. And when you start to make business decisions based on data, you're making smarter decisions than just on gut instinct. I'm actually a believer in gut instinct also. It needs to be a mix of gut instinct and data. But if you're only making it on emotional instinct, it's not always the right decision. So have a look at that. Now, what you'll notice when you look at a graph of sales is there are peaks and troughs. You'll have really high peaks periodically, and there'll be these random deep, deep troughs in between Christmas and New Year. In New Zealand and Australia is a typical trough. The couple of weeks up to Christmas is a typical peak. But you can have all of these mini micro peaks and troughs throughout the year. And so what you'll realize is, you know, even if you've got $0 booked in today, it's just a trough. And when you look at it over a year, it's not defining your business. Okay. So now that you've got your headspace right and go, okay, well, you know, the business is not over, let's take a moment to utilize this opportunity. So the first opportunity is, where is your to-do list? That list, I know that list is so long that you've stopped writing on it probably. Get that to-do list out and start doing some things that you've been meaning to do for so long. For example, now I remember we would do this on a quiet day. Because we were a hair salon, we would have hair accumulate in the reception desk, under the desk, behind the computer, behind the telephone, all of those hairy little places. We'd have a massive big clean out, get the blow dryer and blast it around. There's no clients around, so you can blow all the hair out. Go back into the back room and pull out that cupboard that's got mannequin heads and old boxes and God knows what else is out there. Go and have a clean up. This is your perfect opportunity to clean up. Do your social media scheduling and post for a month. Get it done. Get it out the way. Do each other's hair. Do some training. Practice your hot stone massage so you don't burn people. Whatever it is, utilize the time for all the things that you normally don't have time to do. Now is the time to do that. Embrace it and make the most of it. Now, if it really is going to become a cleaning day, I know that that's not hugely motivating for your team, and I know that some of them will be asking to go home, and sometimes that's okay, but what I don't want you to do is send your team home and stay there and clean the place yourself. Do a team exercise, and you might say, well, look, if we spend 3 hours, we can't close before 5 o'clock or whatever it is. If we spend 3 hours really ripping into the cleaning, 5 o'clock, we'll go down to the pub and have a glass of wine, or I'll buy you a coffee and a muffin at the end, something to reward them. You know, a small investment in your team to motivate them and feel good about doing those otherwise normally yucky jobs that they don't want to do. And, you know, turn the music up if you need to. You can always turn it down if somebody walks in. We would do that. We'd turn the music up, and if somebody walked in, we would just be super cheery. Hi, we're just having a clean-a-thon. And, you know, they'd be kind of feel a bit part of it. We'd turn the music down, make their appointment, and then pump it back up when they went out again. So, you know, be real with it, I guess. So that's taking care of the long to-do list, the overdue to-do list, and the messy, hairy salon. So what about marketing? Really, you've got an opportunity to do some outside-of-the-box marketing. Now, some of the people in my community have tried some, what I would say, out there activities that you normally wouldn't do, because what have you got to lose? What sales have you got in your appointment book today? Zero. You can't do any worse. You can't do any less. So you've got nothing to lose. So what about doing something really radical like promoting for today only, bring in your friend and one of you gets their hair done for free. Maybe both of you get your hair done for free. One of my lovely ladies who belongs to the Collective Hub, she did a promotion. Her ideal client is a new mum, young mum, and she invited new mums, if their baby was less than 3 months old, the conditions were they had to bring in the baby. So there would be new mums with babies, and they'd all be in there together, and they got a free treatment and a blow wave. Now, can you imagine the hum and the hustle inside that salon doing that? Now, what happens psychologically to people when they're in the chair having a free service or having a treat like that is that money's burning a hole in their pocket, and they think, well, if I'm getting this valued at $100 totally for free today, now I can afford to buy that shampoo I've always wanted to buy, or I'm going to reinvest it in having some highlights that I've always wanted to do, or I will have that eye mask on top of my facial, thank you very much, because I'm saving $100 right here. So there's a psychological story to people wanting to invest. So you might have zero booked in today, and if all your cleaning's up to date, which is, you should prioritise clients over cleaning, maybe not, depending on how hairy your desk is, then get the clients in, get your team busy, give them a treat, because you can go from zero to some upselling. Now, another woman that I work with, she did this recently, and she had a zero day, and she ended up upselling $260. Now, that's pretty good. That's better than a kick in the pants from zero, right? And also, she got to rebook her clients. Now, if you did a big promotion on Facebook, the key here is to get people to comment or share or tag someone to get the freebie. Because what happens in a Facebook post, if you tag, comment or share, is that you get elevated reach. The reach of that post goes outward. Once they comment, not so much sharing actually, the comment or tagging someone, because it puts a comment in the post of the giveaway. And let's say you are giving away five free treatment and blowers, okay? Today only, whatever the special occasion is, just because we can, because it's Clean Up Friday or something, I don't know, find a reason. What you can say is comment or tell us the reason why you need to get the freebie. And once those five free appointments are gone, you can go back to all of the people that made a comment. Once somebody comments on your post on your business page, you can go back and reply to them privately in a private message. So imagine you went back and you said to them, hey, thanks for requesting the freebie giveaway appointment or whatever it is today. Unfortunately, all the appointments were gone super quick. But here is a $50 voucher towards your next color. Or here is a voucher towards your next eye mask next time you have a facial, or whatever it is. Give them something, give them a reason to come back. Now, make sure you ask them, would you like to schedule that appointment now? Because now you're in a one-on-one conversation. Now, a Facebook Messenger conversation is as good as a telephone conversation. It's very personal. It's almost like a face-to-face conversation. You are in a conversation with them. So I've seen people make the mistake and say, well, message me if you want to make an appointment. Well, I am in a message. Or don't fall into the mistake of saying, call 1234567819 if you want to book an appointment. No, you are in a conversation. It's very powerful, and you would expect to get as many conversions to a booking as you would if you were having a telephone conversation with that person. Okay, so remember that. So not only are you winning by upselling in the chair and getting people in your chair and having your team motivated and upselling going from zero to $300, but you're also getting reach and new people engaged in your business and getting offers out there for people to come in for tomorrow and the next day and the future day, or build up your new stylist or your new therapist. Okay. So I hope that's useful for you next time you have a complete freak out on dead quiet day. These are the kind of conversations that we have in the Salon Owners Collective Hub. So I encourage you to come and check it out and join us, join the community there for some more tips like this. Now, I do have another one for you, because the other most common one when people come to me to come and join my coaching program is because they've reached a point of overwhelm. And I don't know if you've experienced this yourself before, but you know, you get to the point where there is overwhelm of all the things that you could, should, would do, and you're juggling the clients. You're trying to fit your clients in, and then you're trying to deal with your team. And when you walk in the door, they're coming at you at 100 miles an hour. They're saying, can I, should I, would I, can I have a day off? Can I go to the toilet? My manager and I used to always laugh that, you know, some of the things that they would ask us. But it actually puts you into the state of overwhelm where there's too much to do, there's not enough hours in the day. And if your appointment book gets fragmented and clients are here, there, and every which way, yeah, and the thing about being in that overwhelmed state is that nothing really productive gets done, and you feel like you're in the what's the little wheel that the mouse goes round and round and round, right? And you can't get off. How do you get off? And I remember a time saying to my dear manager, and I said to her, you know, I feel like we've created a monster and now it needs to be fed. And that's how I felt when I was overwhelmed, because there was all the things to do and it was not slowing down. So what I'm going to suggest that you do, I remember this so much, and when I started coaching, I realized that more and more people needed this. So I created this formula, if you will, called Ditch the Overwhelm and Get Shit Done. And it takes you through, there's a 20-minute video, and it takes you through step-by-step how to get out of overwhelm, reorganize your stuff, and get it in order and do the first things first. So I want to give you just a quick, it's available in the hub, but I just want to give you something to get started with if you're feeling overwhelmed yourself at the moment. So the first thing to do is to dump all of the stuff that's in your brain out. So it's a little bit like a computer that gets too full. If your computer is full, the RAM gets full and it starts to slow down. And it can't process. Your RAM is your processing speed, and you can't process things as fast. Your brain gets fuzzy and moves slowly, and you can't make good decisions. You can't support people, and you feel stressed and overwhelmed. So the first thing to do is a bit like taking the good old floppy disk back in the day out of the computer to give it some free space. So you want to dump all the stuff, get a big piece of paper, and start to dump all the stuff that's swimming around in your head. Write it down. There's something really therapeutic about getting it out of your brain and writing it with a pen. And sometimes take a couple of days to do that, because I know this happens to me. I'll be in the middle of cooking dinner for the family and I'll suddenly remember I haven't done this, that, and the other, and somebody asked me to do something. Stop, go and write it down, and you'll dump all the stuff, piece of paper. Maybe you've got a diary, and don't worry too much about organizing it at this point. Just get it out of your brain. And what happens is you start to free up your brain and you start to think creatively, and you've got space again, and the RAM, the processing speed, can speed up a little bit. And I don't know if you notice this, but you know, if I go away for the weekend or a long weekend or a holiday, after a few days of complete shutdown, my creative brain starts to come back and I can think creatively, I can problem solve properly, and I can actually be present with my family and my children, and things start to look rosy again. So dump the stuff. Now, when you've dumped all the stuff out of your brain and your brain's got a little bit of space, you can start to think about reorganizing it. And I'm sure you would have heard me talk about the Eisenhower grid. What's a, you know, you get an A4 page and you put a cross through it. So you've got four quadrants. Now, in the top left-hand quadrant is, you're going to write the words at the top, important and urgent. Those are the things that are time bound, they're urgent, they're really important. Usually somebody else is waiting for you for an action. So it's time bound. And on the other side, on the right hand side at the top, is your important activity. On the bottom left hand side is your urgent but not important. And on the right, bottom right hand side is not urgent, not important. And hopefully there's not too much stuff in that quadrant. So take all the stuff now that you've been, there's actually, in the Ditch the Overwhelm Get Shit Done formula, there's actually 5 or 6 steps. I'm just taking you through some quick, fast ones just to get you going. But reorganize your stuff into those four quadrants, and you'll find that the important, urgent stuff, you know, again, like I said, it was typically belongs to other people. But the stuff that moves the needle or is going to make an impact in your business is the stuff that's in the important quadrant, not the urgent. It doesn't have urgent attached to it. And what happens is you never get to the stuff that's not urgent, because the urgent stuff keeps coming at you, especially if it's your team coming at you saying, can I, should I, would I, and you know, your team member leaves and then they say, can I have a reference, and it's just another thing on your to-do list. So anyway, in the formula I talk about how to say no to some things and how to choose what to say no to, but anyway, that's another topic. What I want you to do now is think about the time that you're going to dedicate to the important stuff, and I call that IGA. Income generating activity. If you want to move the needle in your business, if you want to move your business, propel your business forward, it's going to be the stuff that's in the important income generating activity, and that's got to be at the top of your list all the time. Now, if your appointment book's fragmented and your clients have moved and you let them, you know, come into your otherwise administrative time, then you're never going to have enough time or a big enough block of time to do the important stuff. okay, that's going to be, now what's income generating activity? Marketing, social media marketing campaigns, spending one-on-one time with your team, teaching them how to do better sales, to do better client service, to how to rebook, all of those things, how to do technical skills better. To invest in your team is income generating activity because you're helping them earn more income. And I think the mistake that I hear so often, people say, oh, they came to my salon and they had 10 years experience and they're doing a terrible job. Like, well, when was the last time you sat with them and supported them to grow and to do better? Anyway, I digress. So my suggestion is that you create on a regular basis a minimum of 3 hours a week to work on income generating activity, whatever that may be that you think is going to make move the needle the most in your business, but put the time aside and then protect it strongly. Don't put clients in there. Don't let your team move that, because otherwise you'll never get out of the rat race and out of the mouse wheel. So anyway, that's my, I hope that helps you towards getting out of the overwhelm and doing some IGA income generating activity. The last but not least, you know, I talked a little bit about the freedom and profit formula, and I just want to go back to that and help you think about the two roles that you have in your business. One is, you know, the stylist or therapist, the income generating operator. If you are operating as an income generating person inside of your business, then that's one role that you play. What about the business manager? So there's the business owner and then there's the business manager. The manager runs the business. They do the management, they make sure operations are happening, they hire, they fire, and they do all those roles. When does the business manager get a chance to do their job and to grow the business? And I think that's really important to distinguish yourself in those two roles and make those roles, those job roles, priority in your business, and think of yourself as two separate people. Because as the stylist or as the therapist, you need to be replaceable. If you went and worked for somebody else, what would you get paid in that role? Or if you employed someone to come and run your business and manage it for you, what would you pay them and employ them to do in that role? And I think you need to separate those two parts of you and manage them separately. So I talk a little bit more about that in the Freedom and Profit Formula. So it's a free download. I encourage you to grab it. It's on the salonownerscollective.com for you to grab. And look, reach out to me if you've had any epiphanies after what I've talked about today, because it is something that's really personal to me and comes from my own journey. And it wasn't until I started thinking about myself in these separate roles that I really started to make an impact and a change on my business and come out of that sort of overwhelmed, dazed feeling and really step into my power, I guess, as a business owner. So thanks for joining me on the chat today, and I look forward to hearing from you, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.